By the way, Japanese game company Sega, famous for creating some of video games' most beloved characters like Sonic the Hedgehog, has just a couple of days ago announced that they're investing into music in an effort to expand to the broad entertainment business. Sega, they basically invested in an Indian music tool called Flutin, a startup that uses AI to break new and emerging artists by finding their most suited audiences and helping them promote to them to those people. It's a win-win for not just both companies but both industries. Streaming music is growing in popularity in India, and 63% of Japanese music revenue comes from independent artists. A good move in my opinion for the company, especially for Sega, right, who over the years was one of the victims from the shift to digital media.
Well, I mean, I think this is a shrewd move by Sega. I mean, anything where you're investing into a sort of a music company, you can see how they would utilize that music library within and without the video game field, right? So you can imagine an artist being identified there and then potentially being the opening theme song of one of their big hit games, and vice versa. So there's a lot of discovery that's part of it,
but
I think more than anything else, the data that they're going to get about you know, where their audiences are and what their preferences are, I think is going to be terrific.
Super valuable, yeah.
By the way, a few weeks ago, we reported on Spotify's new playlist generator for pets, which was the butt of jokes for many people, including us. We know we laughed at it a lot, but let's just say it wasn't something that people took seriously. Sometimes our pets don't even know their own names when we call them, right? So why should they appreciate music? Turns out we were all wrong. Researchers at the Louisiana State University found that playing special cat music helps to calm the nerves of cats before a stressful visit to the vet.
So what does the playlist sound like for a cat?
So there are not many tunes out there, right, that were made specifically for cats, but the most famous one that was also included in this research was the album called Music for Cats. It's by this guy called David Tei, and it was sold by Universal Records UK. So it's an album filled with purring and suckling sounds layered into frequencies and tempos that's used in feline vocalization.
That's crazy.
And it's similar to the feline vocal range, which is 55 to 200 hertz, which is usually 2 octaves higher than for humans.
Wow.
So the cats will feel it, but maybe for humans, because of our different frequency range, we won't be able to feel that difference. So in the study, the cats were exposed to 3 types of audio: silence, classical music, and this music that's made specifically for cats. Mm. And the results showed that the stress levels were significantly lower in cats listening to this special cat music compared to the rest. So we might be seeing a new field where people create music that's just for cats. You know, right now there's a new craze, right, where people are creating music just for plants. Because apparently music for plants would help to boost plant growth.
Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, I'm just trying to think of the playlist options here. I mean, you know, purring, you know, you can imagine what the branding would look like.
Yeah, but speaking of, you know, for music for plants is a huge thing now, and there are lots of YouTube videos where it's just like 11 hours just non-stop looping music that's for your plants to grow. So maybe we might see the same for cats.
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of plants in this office. I'm sure we might benefit from it indirectly.
For sure. By the way, 2 programmer musicians, 2 of them who probably had too much time on their hands, wrote every possible MIDI melody in existence. They saved it to a hard drive, they copyrighted the whole thing, and then released it to the public. So this is an attempt to stop musicians from getting sued. And over the years, both me and Off have done stories on many high-profile, multi-million dollar copyright suits in music. And this duo, whose names are Damien Riel and Noah Rubin, they created a very interesting way to try to counter it. Here's Rio explaining how they made it possible.
Music has 8 notes. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And every popular melody that's ever existed and ever can exist is those 8 notes. Now, that's remarkably small. And I worked in cybersecurity, and I know if I wanted to attack your password and hack your password, one way to do it is to use a computer to really quickly say AAA, no, AAB, AAC, and to keep running until it hits your password. That's called brute forcing a password. So I thought, you know, what if you could brute force melodies? What if you could say, do 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 do, do 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 re, do 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 mi, do do fa, and then exhaust every melody that's ever been? And the way the computers read music is called MIDI. And in MIDI, it looks like this: do 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 do, do 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 re, do 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 mi. So I approached my colleague Noah. I said, Noah, can you write an algorithm to be able to march through every melody that's ever existed and ever can exist? He said, yeah, I could do that. So at a rate of 300,000 melodies per second, he wrote a program to write to disk every melody that's ever existed and ever can exist. And in my hand right now is every melody that's ever existed and ever can exist. And the thing is, to be copyrighted, you don't have to do anything formal. As soon as it's written to a fixed, tangible medium, this hard drive, it's copyrighted automatically.
So as nice as the idea of every melody possible in the world put on a hard drive, and let me just give you a number, all 68.7 billion variables of melodies they have collected.
How big is this hard drive?
Oh, it's tiny.
Pretty big, I think.
It was tiny because I saw the video. He's just holding it in his hand. I mean, it's probably like a couple terabytes or whatever.
Super small. It's unsure how this method and this, I guess, evidence, unquote, quotes, hold up in court, as copyright laws are usually quite complicated. But for me, at least this is quite a cool project.
I really, really love this story because, you know, you've got all of these musicians who sue other musicians for songs that they wrote. And these two guys, because they're in this Venn diagram of lawyers and musicians, and what they're trying to do is saying, hey, whatever song that you make and, you know, that potentially could be a hit in the future, like, and if somebody sort of takes it or steal it, you can refer to this space where it's already been done.
I took it from there. I took it from you.
Correct.
I took it from the hard drive.
But you know who would really benefit from the invention of these two programmers? The people behind the Black Panther official soundtrack.
That's right.
So another day, another copyright infringement in the music world. You know, we have Yellow Card versus Juice WRLD, the late Juice WRLD, Katy Perry's now famous Dark Horse drama, Stairway to Heaven, and now joining the pack, Black Panther soundtrack. You know, Black Panther's 2018 soundtrack for the Marvel film was considered one of the best soundtrack albums of recent times. You know, you got Kendrick Lamar leading the pack with pure bangers alongside SZA, Vince Staples, Future, 2 Chainz, and so much more. But now, New York-based experimental rock band Yes Sayer is claiming that Kendrick and The Weeknd's song Pray For Me, one of the tracks on that album, is a copy of their band's 2013 track Sunrise. So according to the lawsuit, the band alleges that the people behind the Black Panther song, this is their own words, kept the same number of voices in the same configuration, brightening the material and temporarily condensing the copied portion while generally retaining the original's pulsing vibrato.
Some scientific investigation.
How did they find out about those? But they're basically suing them for allegingly stealing a vibe. You know, in today's music...
This is a Marvin Gaye kind of reference, right?
You know, you can be sued for a vibe, who knows what will happen?
Inspiration, and I mean, it's a very peculiar thing. Every time I sort of see these cases, I always love, you know, doing the before and after. You hear the actual track, and it's like, well, could that have been really inspired by that particular track? I mean, it's so hard, but just the notion that it's already probably been created by that algorithm that those two guys made
in that one hard drive. By the way, also a new song from pop punkers Bunkface. They just released a new song this just a couple of hours ago. Actually, it's called Ahe Zaman. The new song kind of offended the LGBT community with a line in the song which I would not mention on air. They're getting a lot of backlash now from different groups, and it's pretty much an ongoing story.
It's viral on Twitter as
It's viral on Twitter. It's viral on all social media platforms.
You know, of course, you guys can out there can sort of listen to the song and make your own opinions about it. But I think, you know, the weird thing about punk, if you think about the spirit of punk, which is it's all about punching up to power and not punching down on those marginalized. So this is an area in which I think Bunkface will have to reconcile on their own terms of what they intended and what came out. And obviously the responses to that song, I mean, they'll be able to feel it for themselves.
For sure. It's an ongoing story. We've not heard from the Bunkface side as of yet. It just happened today, so we might revisit it on this segment, by the way.